Nedarim Dav Ayin Hey Amud Beis Shin number 2. We're going from the sixth last line from the bottom of the Amud. We had the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah that a person can preemptively cancel his wife's Nedarim before she even makes them. But we had a question of Lamdus. In this opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, is it that her neder never takes effect at all, or is it that it takes effect, it's just immediately cancelled? And we said, what's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is, if somebody else makes his neder dependent on her neder, if he's toifus his neder on her neder, and then if the husband's preemptive cancellation makes it that her neder never takes effect, then this other person's neder also never took effect. But if it's that her neder does take effect, it's just immediately cancelled, well then this other person's neder would actually still be in effect. So we brought a couple of possible answers to this question, but none of them were successful. So now we have another source, a braisa toshma. Let's see if we can learn from this braisa. That Amr lo Rebbe Eliezer, the Chachamim said back to Rebbe Eliezer, Uma mikveh shemale es hatomein mitumoson. If a mikveh, which will elevate a person from his status of being tomei to a status of being tahor, it removes him from his status of tuma, ein matzel ala tahorim militamei, but it does not allow, it does not save pure tahor things from becoming impure. It removes impurity, but it can't buffer against the susceptibility to tumah. Meaning, let's say you dip your fruits in the mikveh, that doesn't mean that they are now impervious to receiving tumah from here on out. So that's by a mikveh. But adam she'ein ma'ale es hatumein mitumosan, a person who cannot remove tumah from something, he can't take something which is tamei and turn it into tahor. So einu din hu shelo yatzel al hatahirin militamei. So all the more so, he can't prevent something from becoming tamei. Now the case of the man here is where he's swallowed something. Let's say he swallowed something which is tamei, and then he goes into the mikveh. The fact that he's in the mikveh does not change the status of the food that he's eaten inside. If he ate tamei food, that food will not become tahor just because the man who ate it went into the mikveh. So if through the man the tamei does not become tahor, then we should say the logic that if he ate something which was tahor, he shouldn't be able to save it from becoming tamei. So let's say he swallowed some tahor food and then he touched a mace, he became impure, he became tamei. So we would assume that then the object inside him, the tahor object inside him, also becomes tamei. But that's actually not the case. Because if a person does swallow something, it doesn't become tamei just because he becomes tamei. So we see that the relationship between the ability of the mikveh to be able to be metaher something which is tamei, but it doesn't necessarily protect something which is tahor from becoming tamei. And the logic that we wanted to apply to a man, where if the man can't save that which is inside of him the man in the mikveh can't turn something inside of him from impure to pure, so therefore we would assume that something which is pure inside of him should all the more so become impure if he becomes impure. But like we said, that's not the case. So what we see is that this whole learning a kal v'chomer from one status change to another status change doesn't necessarily work. You can't use this kal v'chomer argument from mikveh to man or man to mikveh because they're two completely different scenarios. So therefore what Chachamim is saying back to Rebbe Eliezer is that just because there's a certain set of halachas in nedarim in one case, let's say by a man with his own nedarim, it doesn't necessarily equate to that same principle applying in another case of nedarim when a man is cancelling his wife's nedarim. So therefore, any status change has to be viewed in its own, in a vacuum, it seems, not learning kal v'chomer. So that's what Rabbanan argue back. When Rebbe Eliezer provides his kal v'chomer, they're basically saying you can't apply kal v'chomers when it comes to these types of things that have status changes. So, but what do we see from this? Shma mina lechaylin. We see from this statement of Chachamim that Rebbe Eliezer obviously holds that when the husband preemptively cancels his wife's nedarim, that the neder doesn't take effect at all. How is this apparent? Because they were likening Rebbe Eliezer's logic to the fact that the mikveh could prevent something from becoming tameh after it's been put in the mikveh. So that would be the same as the woman's neder not taking effect at all because of the preemptive cancellation of the husband. So regardless of what exactly their argument with Rebbe Eliezer, what that is focused on, we do see from the way that they're addressing Rebbe Eliezer, it very much seems that Rebbe Eliezer holds that what the husband does when he preemptively cancels his wife's neder is he basically creates a bubble around her where the neder can never actually even begin to take effect. Therefore, it's not that it takes effect and it's immediately cancelled. No, it actually never takes effect at all. And that would mean that in our nafka mina case, where somebody else is toifes his neder on her neder, his neder also doesn't take effect because her neder never took effect. Now that seems to be the proof from this brisa, but the Gemara is going to carry on and it's going to study this brisa a little bit more and see whether we can in fact learn from this brisa what we've been attempting to learn. So at the moment we're suggesting that Rebbe Eliezer's lomdus is that the preemptive cancellation of the wife's neder by the husband means that her neder doesn't take effect at all, but we'll have to see if this brisa really is a good proof for that in the end.